Welcome through the Word to Psalm 129, the 10th psalm in the collection of 15 psalms, known as Songs of Ascents. I'm Melanie Hurlbut, and I'll be your guide today as the Jewish pilgrims reach new heights on their journey to Jerusalem. As I hear this psalm, I imagine it sung as a call and response. Line by line, the song leader and the pilgrims build a cadence that keeps them moving in pace with the psalm's lyrical rhythms. Together, both cadence and story propel them upwards towards Zion, their now not so distant journey's end. The pilgrims are about two-thirds of the way on their journey up. The difficult terrain they've traveled thus far is beginning to fall away below them, and the pilgrims are filled with a new sense of relief and hope. With a growing confidence in the Lord, the song leader surveys the landscape below and begins to sing in verse 1. They've greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say, they've greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they've not gained the victory over me. Call and response songs build community and corporate identity. That's why they've been used in as diverse settings as religious services and military platoons. Even camp counselors and athletic directors know the power of these kinds of songs sung en masse on a bus trip. Did you notice the song leader used the collective me for Israel against them, the oppressor nations? In vain, the nations have tried to thwart Israel's upward journey. But here they are, against all odds, gaining ground. Verse 3. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. And the response. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. Amazingly, this psalm has caught up the whole company of pilgrims into Israel's story. Their pilgrimage up to Zion has become a living parable, a corporate reenactment of God's call, out from the nations, out from idolatry, and up into the presence of the Lord their King. Can you hear the panoramic sweep of history caught up in this one line? Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. It's such an evocative image. Can you see them? The long, deep scars across the backs of the Jews, as the nations of the world have tried to plow them like a field for their own purposes. With a glance over the lands below them, we can imagine our pilgrims seeing Israel's historic struggles replay like a pantomime of ghosts, their miraculous escape from Egypt, whose Pharaoh wanted them for slaves, Israel's near-death wilderness encounters with Amalek, then Midian, who enticed them into immorality and sin. Then, once settled in Canaan, Israel surrounded by enemies, Ammon, Moab, Philistia, Edom, Syria, all clamoring for regional and cultural dominance through the power of their gods. Then finally, in spite of the high points in Israel's covenant history, like David, Solomon, Hezekiah, and Josiah, nonetheless, Israel, weakened by idolatry, had been conquered by Assyria and then Babylon. Truly, these scars run deep. But the Lord. All Israel's history pivots on this one little phrase, but the Lord. One little phrase that puts a spring in their step and fills their hearts and lungs with renewed strength for the journey, and it makes them love him. But the Lord is righteous. What does that mean? Yahweh has kept his covenant even when Israel didn't. Like the Apostle Paul declared in Romans 3, will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. Yes, Israel bears the scars of their sin and suffering, but those scars do not define them. The Lord and his steadfast love defines them. And because of his covenant faithfulness, the pilgrims proclaim, Yahweh has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. I could hear this line of the pilgrims' response begin to swell like a rousing rendition of Elton John's famous survival song. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life. And suddenly, we're caught up in the cadence of their song, and Israel's story becomes our story too. Freedom. Cords of wickedness cut away from cannabis and nicotine vapes, from sinful entanglements and destructive relationships. A rescue that, in spite of the consequences, puts us back into covenant with God and back onto the path of life. Doesn't it make you love him? And it makes me stop and pray, not just for myself, but for our loved ones not yet free. Carried away, trapped, enticed, held hostage by the spirits of the age. Father, do for them as you have done for us. Out of your steadfast love and faithfulness that you've promised to our children and our children's children on to the thousandth generation. Against all odds, after 70 years of exile, the Israelites had been restored to the land. A second Exodus, proving Jeremiah a true prophet. And this stirred up faith for God to do all that Jeremiah foretold. God's promise to give them singleness of heart and actions, that they will always fear the Lord, so that they will never turn away. And so the pilgrims lift their gaze. They look up and they look ahead. What do they see before them? More mountains yet to climb. Many dangers still ahead that could jeopardize their journey to Zion. And so, sobered once again, they jog on together, singing out their prayers for God's ongoing protection. Verse 5. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fills his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, "The blessing of the Lord be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." And so the pilgrims lift their gaze. They look up and they look ahead. What do they see before them? More mountains yet to climb. Many dangers still ahead that could jeopardize their journey to Zion. And so, sobered once again, they jog on together, singing out their prayers for God's ongoing protection. Verse 5. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, "The blessing of the Lord be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." Strange as these prayers may sound when we first hear them, probably more rhythmic in Hebrew, they are heartfelt cries for the Lord's preemptive deliverance. Don't mistake them for mean-spiritedness. Like the Lord's Prayer, they're honest appeals not to be led into times of trial, but to be delivered from evil. They're quite simply paraphrased as, "Enough, Lord, we've had enough. Turn our enemies back. Make them wither. Don't bless them. You said you bless those who fear you, but they hate you, Lord. Don't let our enemies flourish." And so, the song fades from our hearing as this squad of pilgrims turn a corner on their climb up the mountain. I can just catch on the wind a new song leader pick up the cadence and sing out again, "They've greatly oppressed me from my youth, let Israel say." And so, the journey upward continues, like a bus full of kids singing their hearts out on a road trip to their end of season game.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.